for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday evening service of March the 27th, 1998, at the Spring Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon is a speaker for the evening.
Well, David Brogdon is going to come and teach tonight, and he lives up home. Up home to me is in central Illinois. We were, me and where'd he go to? Lyle. Me and Lyle were born about 25 miles apart. He was born over by Jacksonville, and I was born in Springfield. And then he had to come down here, of course, to get acquainted. And David lives in Jacksonville.
And, praise God.
He's electrical engineer, and the Lord uses that to supply their means. And then in between, his most important thing is teaching in between. And the Lord is really beginning over the past 4 or 5 years to make a wonderful teacher out of David. And we appreciate that, and we thank the Lord for it. He used to live here in Hot Springs for a while. And that's how we met him. We didn't know that he back up home. You know, we met him here, and now, and then he's moved back up home. But he comes down and helps us here and goes with Tommy and ministers with Tommy. And the Lord's giving him a wonderful teaching and revelation of some of the things of the Lord, especially in the area of the tabernacle and the Feast of Tabernacles. Come, David.
Good evening. We've had some wonderful teachings thus far, and I trust that those of you who have been here from the onset have taken notes and compile those notes and see what the Spirit of God is saying in this set of meetings. He started off with Brother Cook and teaching on the Ites, Amorites. Very good. And then we had Brother Smith teaching us on the children of light. And God is adding to those. If you take and watch the scriptures, you'll see that there are certain scriptures that the Spirit of God is paralleling with all of the teachings. And I heard Brother Coffey this afternoon said something rather interesting, and it was true. He said that the Lord Jesus Christ can do nothing for you if you don't want Him to do it. You have to yield yourself to let the Holy Spirit through work in and through you those things that God wants to do. Amen. I pray that this evening the teaching won't be too dry for you. What is the Spirit of God saying today to His people? He is saying many things, I know, but there's one specific thing He's saying and speaking to His people. He's speaking to us and telling us to get ourselves clean, first of all. To become a holy people. And through that, we're going to have to endure some things. That is a hard word in the body of Christ. Nobody likes that word, endure. How many of you ever started a project and never finished it? You never endured to the end then. But the Spirit of God has started something in you, and He expects you to endure till He's finished with you. And believe you me, He's going to have a finished product.
Amen. Amen.
Today we need more of Jesus than ever before.
Yes, amen.
Jesus has to be the preeminence in our life. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
The greatest need of the church today, you know what that is? More of Jesus.
Right.
More of Jesus. More of Jesus. And none of us. So nobody sees Brother Coffee here as Brother Coffee. They see him as an outstretched hand of Jesus.
Yes.
Moving and flowing in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
You know, God has everything that we need to get us there.
Amen.
And how many of you want to be more like Jesus?
Amen.
Are you tired of being like you?
Yes.
Well, there's something that has to be done. You have to die.
Yes. Amen.
Now look over in Revelation chapter 3. I thought Brother Smith was going to take off on my teaching there today. Revelation chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'll pray. Father, I thank you for your word, that your word has preeminence in our life. Lord, I pray that you will open up the ears of your people this evening, that they will understand. Lord, that they have broken up their fallow ground to receive the engrafted word of truth. Lord, that the truth would make them and set them free. Lord, I yield myself now as a vessel of yours to be used of you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. This is the age that we live in today. Laodicea.
Yes.
Because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's the church today. We have a need for nothing. Oh, I'm happy, I'm content. But I tell you, we need something today.
Yes.
We need Jesus.
Amen.
More now than ever. We're coming into a time when there's going to be darkness and then gross darkness, the Scripture says, upon the earth. And with that, we'll need to have more of Jesus in us, sold out wholly to Him. And he goes on to say, and knowest not that thou art something? You're wretched.
Yes.
You're miserable. You're poor and blind and naked. And I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You see, Paul said we see through a glass darkly, don't we? But the more the eye salve of the Holy Ghost we get in us, the clearer we're going to see.
Yeah.
The more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the clearer we're going to see. Amen? So we need to anoint ourselves. You know, the Scripture says over in Proverbs 29, it says, where there is no vision, my people perish. And I find in my travels that the body of Christ has no vision. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're supposed to do. And they have no idea as to how to do it. No idea. I just come into church Wednesdays and Sundays, and I go back home, lukewarm. They won't even tell their neighbors, people at work, about Jesus. They don't even see the world as lost and dying. Is that miserable? That's miserable. Wretched. They won't even reprove those in their workplace if they sin. You know, I'm working with a new bunch of people, they have lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh that they're running in. And there's some women in the area there, and they're always making remarks about them, these men. And I told them one day, I said, you're sinning. You're sinning.
Amen.
And you call yourselves Christians.
Amen.
That's sin in God's eyes, and He's going to judge you for that. And they ridiculed me, and they mocked me. And if they could have, they'd have spit on me. But you know what? I just was praising God because He said, blessed are those who are reviled and persecuted for my name's sake. And I had, just before I came down here, I had one of the gentlemen come over privately to me, and he says, I want to ask you to forgive me, for I was sinning. I said, well, then repent. Repent and do the works that are meet for repentance. See, we need to be bold, folks. We need to be bold, folks. Else we'll end up with what's going to happen to the church here in Laodicea. But to him who overcomes, look at verse 21. chapter 3 of Revelation. Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Oh, what a blessing. To sit with the Father and with the Son in the throne room. Oh, glory. In the throne room. Today there's no realization in the body of Christ of what their purpose is. And their purpose is, look over in Colossians 1 and 27. Here's what our purpose is. Colossians 1, 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, that hope of glory.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Christ in us. Christ formed in us. Christ becoming our all in all. You know, Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is something. What is it? The kingdom of God. Amen. And that word is not poor in the things of the world, but poor knowing where you are and where you stand with God. Lord, I'm a wretched man. I'm miserable. There's nothing good within me. And I need to change. Lord, help me to change. If we're going to become that company of people that Brother Smith talked about and Brother Cook talked about, we're going to have to change.
Amen.
And I find this in the body of Christ. They don't like to change. We like to do it the old way. But you know, God is constantly changing. God is on the move. Amen? He is on the move. And God is mourning over His people right now. I'm telling you, He's mourning over His people. Because God needs you and me.
Hallelujah.
He needs us today, doesn't He? Why does He need us? There's something within God that needs to be satisfied. And He's only satisfied when He has all of you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Not 10%. Not 20. Not 90. Not 98. Not 99.9. But all of you. Jesus was our example. Amen? Jesus was our example. And God is looking for a people who wants to give everything, not just a part. Yield it all. Everything in their lives. God is looking for a house to dwell in. Your house. Your temple. He's looking for that to dwell in. And He wants to dwell in it wholly, not partially. How many of us have a little area? God, I don't want you to go in this door. I don't want you to open up that area, that little closet there, that little partition there. I don't want you to go in there. That's where I got all my rubbish. That's what deliverance is for. Get rid of your rubbish. Get rid of all your garbage. That's why it's so needful. The Lord spoke to me in 1980 and said the last thing that would be coming on the earth before His return would be the deliverance ministry. And at that time, it was the lowliest ministry. Nobody wanted to get involved in it. And still don't. But God is looking for a people. He's looking for a house to dwell in. And God wants to dwell in your heart wholly. Amen? You know, sometimes in our McDonald age, we think God's moving awfully slow. But God has a time schedule. And God has an order about it.
Yes, He does.
And God will follow His order, not ours.
Yeah, right. Right.
Amen?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I've got water up here. Thank you. I got more water now. Thank you. The ultimate end of what God is doing today is the restoring of people. When Adam fell, that hurt God. But God, since the fall of Adam, has been about restoring a people back to Him. All the way back to Adam. He wants a people that He can dwell in and that they can dwell in Him. Amen? He wants communion. That's the garden.
Sure.
He wants communion. How many of us have communion every day with the Lord?
Amen.
You know, we like to talk to Him, but do we listen to what He has to say? We don't listen too well. We like to give Him all of our, Lord, I need this help. Lord, I got this problem. Lord, I've got this and I've got that. But we don't want to listen, you see. And I found that in communication, I get to talk every once in a while, but then I listen mostly. to what people have to say back to me. And it's the same thing with God. We need to talk to Him, but then we need to set ourselves, be quiet, be still, and listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. But we're on the go, and we can't stop. We've got schedules. We've got agendas. We've got things to do. You see, if you've got the world in you, and you've got the world schedules and the world agendas, it's going to be hard for you in that day.
Amen.
Wow. Look over in Mark chapter 1. I'm going to get flowing here in a minute. You know, I was so blessed to be down here. I was down here last year, and just the Spirit of God moved in a new direction, new way in a particular ministry. And in fact, all of last year was helping people get loosed and loosing their gifts, praying for them that they'll use their gifts. Now, how many, were any of you here last year at the time that I was here? Now, how, okay, I see several hands. And I know you were prayed for. We had little groups and things. Now, how many of you are using your gifts today? Be honest. Okay, a few of you. Okay. How many of you today are using those gifts in the world more than in the church? Oh. Now, I want you to know the gifts are important. And you should be trained in the church. But the gifts are primarily important in the world. It's the best tool I've found to bring people to Christ. And I do it. I try it almost every day, letting God use me to flow in the gifts for healing, for deliverance, for whatever. You see, we've been selfish, haven't we, in the church? We're becoming inbred. We're just using it every time we come in. We're trying to use, and it's good to use it in there, but it's primarily, look at the early church. Where were they at? They were in the world, going in the world. Amen. But Mark chapter 1, verse 11. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know, God's only been pleased with one person. I'm telling you, only one person, and His name was Jesus. Has He said to you, He is pleased? He hasn't said it to me. He hasn't said it to you. Until it's all of Christ in you. Yes, and doesn't He? That's exactly what He says. So God was only pleased. And that word well pleased in the Greek means He had total delight in. Total delight in. There's only one person that He had total delight in. That was His Son. That was the Son. Amen. And Jesus was the approved vessel. Wow. So what delights the heart of God? His approved vessel. And you know, I see in the Scriptures that He's raising up sons, plural. Well, if they're going to be sons after the Son, they'll be approved vessels. You know? They'll be approved vessels, Jim. You know? Praise God. Look over in Philippians. I'm trying to do this slowly. Perhaps this, something will sink in this time. Look over in Philippians chapter 1. Now, this was interesting as I was looking this up, this particular word. Chapter 1 of Philippians, looking at verse 8 and going to verse 11. "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Now, that word knowledge in the Greek is discernment. Discernment. He says, I pray that your love may abound more and more in the discernment and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. We have to begin to approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. You know, He wants us to approve what is excellent. And I see, I looked up that word excellence, and I'm thinking, Lord, what is it? And look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That talks about the gifts here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. He says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show you something. A more excellent way." So the gifts are good, but there's a better way yet.
Yes.
The gifts are good for us to use, but there is a better way yet. Yes. And it's a more excellent way. Yes. Praise be to God. Now, thank God for the gifts. The gifts are okay. And it says for us to covet them. That means earnestly seek after them. Earnestly. Really, it means with all of your heart, just seek after those things. How many of you ever prayed and asked, God, I want to experience all the gifts? Have you? Well, just keep going. Just keep saying, God, I haven't experienced this one, or I haven't experienced this one. Just keep asking, and He'll allow you to experience them. As He wills, not as you. As He wills. But you have to be attuned to the Spirit. He says, I'll show you a more excellent way. Now, what I find is, and what I found in the body of Christ, is that people begin to exalt the gifts and not the giver.
Exactly right.
You see? We need to exalt Jesus. For Jesus said, if I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto Him.
That's right. Amen.
We need to exalt Jesus. Thank God for your gifts this evening here, those of you that have them, those of you that operate and walk and work in them. Thank God for them. But let's exalt the giver of those gifts.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Let's exalt Jesus and lift Him up. And I believe today I'm seeing God restoring the gifts like never before. And we're going to need these in the days ahead to see that great influx of people that God is going to bring in. You know, the gift realm is not the best realm according to the Scriptures here. There's a more excellent way. It's just a part of what God wants to bring us into. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit rains these gifts on us, doesn't He? As He wills. You know, let me give you a little bit of Illinois down-home country boy farm-bred stuff here. When we plant corn or beans up in Illinois, we expect a shower to come to germinate that seed that's been placed in the ground. But if it rained all the time, you know what happened? It would rot in the ground. And you know, I see in the body of Christ a lot of people that are running to where it's raining right now. And they want it to rain and to rain and to rain and to rain all the time. Well, if it rained all the time on you, you'd be drenched, wouldn't you? You'd be inundated in things of the Spirit. But and God doesn't do it that way. He shows us in the natural what He'll do in the spiritual.
Amen.
So, old farm boy thinking here says that, you know, it rains for a season, and thank you, God, that it rains, and Lord, thank you, shut off the rain now. And what happens? The sun comes out, it gets very warm, heats up, causes that seed to come up out of the ground, causes it to produce something. Amen? And that's the way it is with us in the spiritual. God rains on us for a season. You're just full of the Holy Ghost. You're overflowing with the Holy Ghost. You're overflowing and walking in the gifts. You're overflowing and just doing tremendous things and just coming into the presence of God. But then God shuts it off. And then you wonder, what did I do, God? What did I do? Well, God knows you can't take it all the time. God knows you can't take it all the time till you get like Jesus. Amen? You have to get like Jesus. And so God is raining here and He's raining there. And thank God for the rain of the Spirit. And thank God for the movement of the Spirit. You know, thank God for what He's bringing forth. Because the rain will produce something. At the end, in the autumn, we do something up in Illinois. We get out the tractors and the combines and things. And I'm sure they do it in Kansas and other places. Kansas goes before us. They get the weed out and all. Down south they do that before us, but they're going to do something, aren't they? They're going to get a harvest.
Yes.
You see, that's what Jesus is coming back for.
Amen.
That group that's going to be harvested.
Yes.
Amen. Look over in Matthew chapter 13. There's so much stuff in Matthew chapter 13. Whoa.
Yes.
It should open our eyes up to a lot of fallacies. A lot of false teachings out there. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Look in chapter 13, verse 37 to 42. Jesus gives us a parable. Verse 36, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares and the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So who's the sower? Son of Man. Jesus. Jesus is sowing his seed. When you got saved, the seed was sown. Amen. And he watered it. You got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So if you haven't got baptized, you need to get it tonight. If you haven't got the seed of Jesus, if you're not saved, you need it tonight. Don't leave here unless you get that seed placed within you.
Amen.
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 And he said, the field is the world, and the good seed are what? The children of the kingdom. Whoa! I want to be good seed, don't you?
Yes, sir.
The children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are the gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Now what's going to be gathered at the end and burnt? The tares. It doesn't say anything at all about the good children being gathered and burnt.
No, sir.
The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus has planted his seed within you. And you know, I get a picture of this. When a husband and wife come together, a seed was placed. And after a period of time, there's going to be something. If it was germinated, there's going to be something to be produced in the woman, isn't it? And Tommy's got a good teaching. I won't get into that. And about the man-child coming forth out of the woman. But there's something that's going to come out of that woman in 9 months. And she's going to deliver something. And if she doesn't deliver it, she's going to hurt. Or the child will die. You see, and Jesus has planted his seed within you, and nine is what? What's nine? The gifts and fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
Gifts and fruits of the Spirit. So God expects you to germinate the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit in your life so that you'll produce his likeness. He expects that out of you. You know, if it rains all the time, what's going to happen? You'll rot. You'll flood out. There'll be no good for nothing. Amen?
No harvest.
No harvest. But God is doing something here. He says that he has planted his seed, and there's a good seed, and there's the tares. Amen? Praise God. You know, I was thinking today, as I was meditating on this, I was thinking about what is the fruit of prophecy? What is the fruit that comes from the gifts of healing? What is the fruit that comes from a word of knowledge? There's supposed to be some fruit from those, isn't there, Bill? There's supposed to be some fruit from that. What is that fruit? What is the fruit? That prophecy should do something within you. And something should be produced within you to come more into the likeness of Jesus. You see? When you were healed, perhaps you needed a healing, and someone laid his hands on you or her hands and prayed for you, and you were healed. There should have been some fruit in that person's life.
Right.
They should come closer to Jesus. As Brother Glenn said, the lady that was healed, I mean, she's got a relationship, and he does, with Jesus.
Amen.
You see? What's it doing? What's it doing? Jesus is our husbandman, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
And he's waiting for us. And he's nurturing us. Look over in 2 Peter. This is really the text that started all this for me. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Looking at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge, that word knowledge again, discernment, there's that word discernment, of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these might be partakers of the divine nature. There you go. His promises will bring us into the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. What are the lusts? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We have to escape those. come out from them. Amen. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, there are eight things here. Eight's what? New beginnings. Eight is new beginnings. There's a cluster of them. And add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. That word knowledge is a discernment again. And to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Charity. Charity. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Charity. I won't read that this evening, but you look over there and read that chapter again. Reread it. That's the love of Christ. Amen. It's not the eros. It's not the philos. It's the agape love.
Amen.
That God wants to be in His children. Amen. He says, but he that lacketh these things is something, blind. And cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So if you're blind, you go back to Revelation chapter 3 again, you've got to put something on. There's an eye salve that you have to put on your eyes.
Revelation of God.
There it is. The revelation of who God is and who we are to be in Him. It's that revelation.
Amen.
Amen. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail, or excuse me, never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. That's quite a teaching, Brother Bill said today. It is quite a teaching. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in something, in the present truth. You know, at the time of the disciples or the apostles, they were getting truth real fast. And they were being established in that truth. It hasn't ended, folks. God is restoring present truth today to the church. Present truth to us. Amen? Then thank God for the truth, because the truth will set you free. Truth sets you free. Truth causes you to come out of darkness into the light. Truth is light.
Amen.
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 Praise be to God. Truth is light. Praise be to God. Look over in Joel chapter 2 now. This was a good one. Joel chapter 2. We had it this morning. We're going to have it this evening. I guess God wants you to have it twice today. Two's the number of witness. Joel chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. That means it's going to have life come up in it. Amen. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. I mean, that sounds like it's going to be quite a deluge, isn't it? He's going to rain upon us. He's going to rain upon us His Word. And that Word will take the preeminence in our life. Amen? And it will be more of the Word and less of us. More of the Word and less of us. More of the Word and less of us. I tell you one thing the demons don't like. They don't like the Word.
No, sir.
They don't like the Word. They hate the Word. You know, last week, a week ago Saturday, yesterday, I had a funeral, and a gentleman in our ministry, and I went out to his house prior to his death, and he wanted to go on with the Lord. He was older, and he wanted to go on. He'd been battling a lot of things, and he had fought deliverance. Really had fought against it. He didn't want it. And, he said he did to appease everybody, but he really didn't. But when he was laying on his deathbed, the demons cried out, I want out of here. Get us out of here. And his children didn't know what to do. They left the room, in fact. But there was another minister and myself. We'd both worked in deliverance. And they left, and the wife said, shut the door. And we did deliverance on the man. And the demons came out, I'm telling you. And we applied the blood of Jesus over all the family, all the family members and everything, so those devils would not come in. We bound them from going back into any part of the family. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And the man, when I left there, was in peace. You know, we can go to be with the Lord, but we don't have to go and let those devils torment us all the way. Amen? And his will was, you can't go against another person's will, can you? And his will was, I want to go with the Lord. I asked him a question a number of years back. I asked him, what's the most important thing in your life? And his reply to me, after he thought on it, he's an old farm boy, you know, he thinks about things before you say them sometimes. And he said this to me, the most important thing is to know Jesus. That's the most important thing.
Amen. Amen.
And I know he knows Jesus now, like never before. Amen. But God is raining down in the hearts of his people today that former and latter rain's coming together. And I tell you what, the Word is coming like never before. The Word, the revelation of the Word is coming to his servants like never before. Perhaps you've been in the Word yourself. Perhaps you've studied the Word and you've read a scripture and the light goes off. Revelation. Revelation. Now what I tell people is, when you get revelation, write me a letter, send me a card, because I want the same revelation. If God hadn't given it to me, I need it, don't I? So that I can help others out. Don't hold it back. A lot of people hold back their revelation. They don't tell anybody. But pass your revelation on so we can get just as smart as you.
There you go.
That's the bottom line. And what I find is, anything that's not of God in the end times, anything that's not of God's nature, of Jesus' nature, is going to be chaff. And the chaff is what? Blown away, isn't it? You know, I see a picture in the Old Testament of the women winnowing the grain. And they're throwing it in the air, and the grain will fall back down, but the wind will blow the chaff away. So we need to get the chaff out of us, don't we? We need to get all those things that are demonic out of us, don't we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at James chapter 5. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 7. James, the writer, says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain." Back over in Joel. The early and the latter. See, he's patient. We're not. And he's working right now. And I believe Bill said this today, and I believe this is the truth. You who are here this evening, there are part of the remnant, part of that man-child company, part of those people that God is bringing in. Now, you've got to make a choice one of these days whether you want to stay in that or get out of it.
Right, right.
You make the choice.
There'll never be no unwilling waiting ones.
None. Amen. And praise be to God. He's waiting. He's patient. You know, that's part of the fruits of the Spirit. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. This is part of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Fruits of the Spirit. And I heard just the other day a lady said, "Would you pray for patience for me?" I says,
"Uh-oh."
I says, "Well, let me tell you this. Now, this was revelation, so it's hot off the press, so I'll give it to you. I know that when you pray for patience, what do you get?
Tribulation.
And lots of it. But the Spirit of God said this to tell this woman this. He said, if she wants patience, tell her to pray for the fruits of the Spirit, and she won't have that tribulation. Because the fruits of the Spirit will work different.
Yes.
I said, okay. So I told her. And so we prayed that God would give her those fruits of the Spirit would be evident in her life. And part of that is being patient. Amen. Waiting upon the Lord. Love is the very first fruit, isn't it? Love. How many of you have said to somebody, "I love you," and when they were going and having tribulation and troubles and things, and they called you up and wanted help, and you said, "I love you," but you didn't help them? You see, the agape love is you put your feet in action where your mouth was in action. And if they need help, you go help. That's perfect love, you see. You lay down your life for the brethren. If you loved them, you'll do it. you'll find some way to help them. Wow. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Turn over to Isaiah 55. This is good for you to go back and forth, right? This is good for you to get shuffle those fingers. Now, Tommy Cook, if he was up here, he'd be having you shuffle them. I just write them down. Praise be to God. Isaiah 55, verse 8. God says something to his people. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Don't you know God has a higher thought life than us? Amen. And he's got a perfect way for you, doesn't he? We don't know what it is, but if we listen to the Spirit, he'll direct us. Amen. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not hither, but waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." That word is the seed. There you go. "So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." I tell you what, if you've had a word from the Lord, and God spoke a word through a man or a woman, through a prophet or a prophet, or through a particular person, a prophecy for you, and you knew that was from God, you hold on to that word. God will water that word, and God will cause that word to increase and cause a change to happen in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And God gives not only this rhema, but I tell you what, and thank God for this, but I tell you, when he gives words of prophecy to us, man, you can hold on to that. That's personal to you. That's the rhema. Amen. That's that rhema word that's I'm telling you what, you want to hold on to that. That comes right from the throne room. Personal to you. God's ways are not like our ways. Amen? But he sends his word. I like verse 10. It says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven." You know, I'm thinking about up north where we're at. I don't know if you get snow down here, but we look for that snow. You know, because the snow does something. It kills all them little varmints in the earth, you know, that's down there. And you don't have to put so much fertilizer and things like that on and all kinds of pesticides to kill those little things. So thank God for the snow. Amen? And just as the snow destroys those parasites in the earth, you know, God lets you go through a winter season, and he's wanting to get rid of some ites in you. Amen? He's wanting to get rid of some of those ites in you. And it's, when you're going through that time, just go to the Lord and say, "Okay, Lord, I realize that there's something here that I need free from. What ite is it?" See? Go to him. You know what? The first thing you should do when you got a problem is get on your knees first, then call the pastor later. I'm serious. God wants you to do something.
Yes. Amen.
It's time for you to stand on your two feet. It's time for you to do something yourself. Amen. Then call up the pastor and let him get the prayer chain going or whatever. But you start it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the word is raining upon us, and it's going to bring forth the Christ-likeness, isn't it? And it's precious to God. His word is precious to him. Look over in Luke chapter 8. Well, I'm going to take you through a bunch of scriptures right quickly. I'm trying to get out of here at a decent hour, about 11 or so. Luke chapter 8, verse 10 says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand." Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Amen. Look over in John chapter 1. You know, you may know these, but I want you to read it for yourself. John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the seed, the word." Amen. "In the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." What was? The Word, the seed, was with God. Amen? "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in the seed was something. In Him was
life."
Life. So if you have the seed of Jesus within you, you have something. What is it?
Life.
Life. You have life. You have life. If you have life, why you got the mully grubs? You see? You got the seed. You got life within you. I tell you, if there's no revelation other than this, get the revelation of what the seed is. It's life.
Amen.
And the seed is working something out of you. It's getting rid of the darkness. The more of the seed that you put in, the more of the word you put in, the more of the darkness will flee. The more revelation you get, the more of the darkness will flee. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Hallelujah. Whew. There's much here. Yeah, look at 12 to 14. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become something. Sons of God. If you've got the seed in you, you have power to become a son of God. Well, I'm sorry, ladies. You've heard me say this before. God calls you sons, but he calls us brides.
Very true. Very true.
Paradox there, isn't it?
It's still the truth.
Still the truth, isn't it? He gave us power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You have to be born again. Amen? Born again of a new seed, a new likeness, a newness. Amen? Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he does something to it. He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. You can't bear any fruit unless you abide in Jesus. Amen. No more can you, except you abide in him, for I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. The more we abide in Jesus, the more fruit we'll produce. You want to produce fruit? Get into Jesus.
Yes, hallelujah.
Get into Jesus. More Jesus, more of you. Jesus, I want more of you. Jesus, I want more of you. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. His words, his seed, has to abide in us, doesn't it? His seed. How many of you are putting that seed in?
Amen.
Daily. How many of you are applying that seed daily? It's daily. You can't take that stale manna. That old manna is no good. It's rotten. It's putrid. It's got to be a daily thing. Fresh. Fresh. Fresh corn. Fresh corn. Amen. Corn. That's interesting. Praise be to God. John chapter 17. Jesus did something here. He prayed a prayer. He says in verse 22 of chapter 17, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made something perfect, perfect, mature in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. I tell you, if we are going to come, we've been trying for years. The church people have been trying to get us in unity. It'll never happen. It's never going to happen because we're doing it in the flesh. We're only going to come into unity when the Spirit of God begins to prick our spirit and say, be conformed, be conformed, be conformed into Jesus. Only then. You know, that's why I'm seeing, and I'm sure some of you are too that are traveling around the nation here, are seeing that there's a hunger in the people right now. Right now throughout this nation, and I'm sure throughout the world, that there is a hunger, but primarily in this nation. People are tired, sick and tired, of the same old manna, the same old thing. And what they're wanting is more of Jesus. Amen? More of Jesus. More of Him. More of His Word within them. Amen. And only till this prayer of Jesus is fulfilled, that until that glory of Jesus comes within us, only till that glory begins to do a work within us and changes, only till that word begins to do a work within us, are we going to come into unity one with another. No denomination will ever bring us into unity. No government will ever bring us into unity. Only the Spirit of God will bring us there as we yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to yield to Him.
Amen.
You know, the Word of God that you've been given, perhaps you had a personal word, perhaps you've had a prophet. How many have ever been prophesied or had a word given to? Okay, how many have not had? Let me put it that way. How many have not had a word given to them? So everybody's had somewhere in your walk, somebody has given a word to you. Well, God wants to water that word. Now, this is what I tell my people is, when you get a word, and if there are any words given here over the course of the weekend, get the tapes that they're on. So you can get that word, and I would say to you that are ministers here, if you're going to ask somebody, ask them their name so they know who it is, if that opportunity arises. Maybe after you give the word, ask them their name or whatever. So it's on the tape. And then you get that tape and you write that word out. And you share that word with your pastor wherever you're at. And then you begin to pray over that word. And ask the Lord to water that word. And cause that word to come to its completion. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews 1. I'm getting close to ending. I'm closer now than I was when I started. Yeah, thank you. I'm learning from these older gentlemen. Yeah, I'm not gonna point anywhere, but Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times in a diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He had appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now, it's interesting that word Son can be translated this way. That should have a plural, should be S behind it. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His sons. You're going to speak. You're going to speak in these last days. You're going to open your mouth and speak in these last days. Just like God spoke in types and shadows in the Old Testament, today He's speaking by His sons in this day. You're His mouthpiece in the earth. Amen. You are His mouthpiece. And Jesus, we know, was the ultimate word, but yet Jesus is bringing us to the place that we can be like Him. Just like Him. And, you know, for years ago, I often pondered that. How are you going to do that, Lord? A lot of the old teachings that I had, you know, said you couldn't be that way. Said you couldn't walk in the Spirit. Said that the gifts are gone. Said that, you know, it was pretty well dead from where I was at. Thank God I saw something in the Scripture one day, and it excited me. In John chapter 14, verse 12 says, "Verily, verily, the things I do, you shall do also even greater things, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, I will do it." And I began to look that up, and you know, that was a command. If you ask anything, if you command anything in His name, He said He'll do it. Why? That the Father may be glorified. You see, God wants to glorify Jesus through you.
Amen. Amen.
He wants to glorify the Lord through you. How else can He be glorified? That's why it's important for us to have the gifts in operation in the body of Christ. That's why it's important. I appreciate working with Brother Cook because we can flow together. And I appreciate working with other ministries. We can flow together. There's no division among us. You see? Two months ago, I was in Pennsylvania ministering there, and it was interesting because the Spirit of God began to show me people that had been various gifts, but they've been not using them. They've been stagnant and stale and looked like they were shriveling up. And so they needed a new impartation, a new charge, if you were, and to get those gifts flowing again. And so I began to minister to some of them. And God began to use them. They got charged. Woo-wee. In so much so, they brought in one who was deaf, and God opened his ears. I don't know who prayed for him, but I know this. He was deaf. Doesn't matter. See, that's the whole thing. It doesn't matter who it is. God wants to use you. There were many healed, many delivered, and God used many people for that. God wants to use you today. If there's any message that I probably have liked is the fact that God wants to use you. What good are you if you're just taking up space on a pew? God wants to use you in your everyday walk. Where you're at. Hallelujah. God will be glorified in us. Those of you that will allow Him to, He will be glorified in us. Amen. But the only way He can be glorified in us is if we're walking in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
We have to be submitted to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
To the Holy Spirit and the work that He's doing. We have to submit ourselves so that He can be glorified. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, one of the things that really saddens me and is the fact that there are a lot of ministries and my daughter and her new husband's looking for a church, and we went to this Spirit-filled church in another town, and we visited this church, and it was rather amazing what was going on there. And I thought, how could this be the Holy Spirit? There was rock music, knock you off your seat. How could it glorify Jesus? You see? The pastor got up and said, 15 minutes is all we allot for the Word.
Oh, God.
And it was 15 minutes. He was right there. I timed him. It was one scripture. And he read the scripture, and then he went into a story, and that was it.
No life.
Then they did several plays. But you know, they did something. They really fooled me because they took the offering up first. And I was silly enough to give. And I told my daughters and son-in-law and all. When we left there, I said, well, I just paid for a nice performance for us. And that's how I put it. It was nothing more than a performance. There was no life in that church, period. And yet that church is growing by leaps and bounds. Because there was no life, no conviction for sin. All entertainment.
Showmanship.
Hardest, I'll tell you what, I've heard guitars played pretty hard, but my heavens, my ears rang. You see, that's what's going on in the body of Christ today. They don't want the Word to work in their life. And if you only get one scripture, and it was a very small one, read to you for the whole week, and you don't do anything yourself, I don't believe you're going to produce much. Amen. Woo! But the total purpose of the Spirit of God working in us and those gifts working in us is to bring us into more Christ-likeness.
Amen.
That's the bottom line.
Sure.
That's the bottom line, to be changed. You know, and when there's more Christ in you than there is of you, you're going to be as humble a people as you've ever seen. And I'm looking for that people. I'm looking for that humble people.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 16. I like this book of John. John, he laid on the bosom of Jesus, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He went right to the heart.
Yes,
he did. He wanted to know him personally and intimately like none of the other disciples. Not to say that they didn't, but he was all, you know, you read him in the scriptures, he was close to him. He took him to the Mount of Transfiguration, didn't he? The sons of thunder, I like that. That was good today. The sons of thunder went thundering on the mountain. praise God. And God humbled them. John chapter 16, verses 13 to 14. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come, and He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus. And He'll only bring the things that the Father lets Him say. That's why it's important to be directed and led by the Spirit. Amen? That's the bottom line, is to be directed by the Spirit. Look over Matthew chapter 7. Here we see Jesus speaking to the multitude still up on the mountain. Amen? In chapter 7, He says something here, verses 21 to 23. There is a people that are going to say to Him in this day, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." That word "knew" is that intimate relationship. They never had an intimate relationship. They never let the Word produce the likeness of Christ in them. And He said, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Depart from me." Will that be sad in that day when you stand, or rather kneel before Jesus, and He says, "Depart from me"? "But Lord, didn't you know I prophesied in your name? Lord, didn't you know I laid hands on many people and they were healed? Lord, didn't you know that I did many wonderful things for you?" But because they had no intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, He said, "Depart from me. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." I want you to ponder that. Think on that a moment. Because that could happen to any of us here if you don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, this is a serious time that we're coming into. This is a serious day. This is not fun and games in the Spirit. This is a time of seriousness like never before. God will be glorified in us. He will be. The total purpose of the Spirit is to make Jesus real in us. He has to be real. He wants us to have that relationship. Now notice that these people here operated in the gifts. They were saved, I take it. They were full of the Holy Ghost, I take it. But they never had an intimate relationship with Jesus. That's what He wants. All of you. Intimacy. Closeness. Relationship. Hallelujah. As we approach the light, darkness is going to have to flee. Amen. The closer we get to Jesus, the less darkness there is in us. There will be times when you'll have to get on your face before the Lord and say, "Lord, cleanse me more. Deliver me more. More. More, Lord. I want to be more like you, less like me." Amen. Matthew chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid." You are the light. You are that vessel that Jesus wants to use. He's chosen you. Even though, you know, I look at the feast and I see in a particular feast of Pentecost, they used unleavened bread. Speaks to us as those unleavened vessels that the Spirit of God has poured out into. And He chose to do that, to put His seed within us. But He expects that seed to do something, doesn't He? He expects it to produce something in our lives. Amen? Praise be to God. And if that seed does not produce, I'm telling you what, the husbandman's going to have to cut it down. If that seed does not produce and causes that intimacy to come, you're going to be cut off. That's the bottom line. So you, as a body of believers, need to learn an example from our Lord Jesus Christ. He died to all things. He had a particular work to do, And he went to the cross. Look over in Hebrews right quickly. He went to the cross. Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now, I don't look at it as a joy myself, what he had to endure. But he knew what he had to do. The joy was he was fulfilling the obedience. He was being obedient to the Father, wasn't he? It must be my whistle. Round two. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we find over in Revelation chapter 3 that those who overcome will be sitting right there also, at the right next to Jesus on his right hand. Amen? Isn't that going to be wonderful? Right in the throne room. You know, right now we're 60-fold. We're moving into the 100-fold realm. And in a 100-fold realm, we got to lose it all. There'll be no flesh enter into the Holy of Holies. There'll be nothing that's not Christ-like that'll enter into the Holy of Holies. There's not one thing that will enter in that is unless it's Jesus. And God is bringing forth that company, that man-child company, if you want to call it that. Or there's the people call it the manifestation of the sons of God. There's that same company. I see it as the same company that God is bringing forth. They're all in one, just different names.
Terminology.
But these sons are being manifest in this hour. Romans 8. Oh, boy, there's so much here, Lord. Romans 8:19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." The creature, Jesus, is waiting. The Father God is waiting for that manifestation. The whole earth is groaning and waiting and travailing and waiting for those sons to come forth. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's another word, manifestation. Chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these work that the one and self-same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. The manifestation of the sons of God will see the manifestation of the Spirit and the gifts in their life. You'll see the gifts flowing just like if you were speaking or talking, they're just going to flow like that. Just like if you were drinking a glass of water, that's how the gifts will be flowing in your life, whatever gift the Spirit desires for you. Amen? These gifts were manifest in Jesus' life because he was totally obedient to the Father. Obedience is another word that the church doesn't like. They don't like to be told to be obedient. I know because when I use that word a lot in some teachings, I look at people's faces and they get mad at me. I think I'm talking to my children when I look out there, you know. They didn't like that word either. And we as adults don't like that word. Yet we learn the things of God through obedience. Amen? That's how we learn the things of God. And we need Jesus manifest. And God's preparing sons. He's preparing us through deliverance. Boy, do we need that today in the church. Amen. He's preparing us through our trials and testings. He's preparing us through persecutions, isn't he? But he's preparing a people. There will come a day. There will come a time. And quickly, I'm sure, what we're going to see in America, devastation like never before. It's coming. And so the Spirit of God is working quickly to manifest these children. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit saith today.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God that He's long-suffering towards us. I thank God that He has desired to prepare you and I to be like His Son. Amen. Now, how many of you this evening want that intimate relationship with Jesus?
Amen.
How many of you want to come into a place where there's less of you and all of Him?
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet then. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you this evening, and I want you to be sincere. First of all, I want you to just get in the presence of God yourself right now.
Hallelujah.
You know your problem. I don't. You know your areas that you're weak in or that you're failing in. I don't. But the Lord knows them. You know if you're having an intimate relationship with Jesus or not. I don't.
Hallelujah.
Lest the Spirit of God would reveal that. But He is such a gentleman that He wants you to come first.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before You this evening. Lord, we humble ourselves before You, knowing, Lord, that we have need of something. Lord, we have need of You. We need You more now than ever.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, forgive us for thinking that we have no need of anything. Lord, the Scripture says for us that You would search our hearts, O God. Try our hearts, Lord, and see if there be any presumptuous sin within us. So, Lord, I'm asking You now on behalf of these, Your people here, that are standing in Your sight this evening. Lord, that You would try our hearts. That You would show us those areas that we're deficient in. Lord, for I know that You're standing at the door knocking now. And Lord, we open up those areas in our hearts, Lord, to You. 100%, Lord.
Yes.
We don't want to hold anything back. For we know if we hold back and we don't gain that intimate relationship, that the end would be, depart from me, you that work iniquity.
Amen.
So Lord, we come before You now. And we ask You to prepare our hearts for more of a work. Prepare our hearts to receive more of Your seed, more of Your word to change us. Lord, it's our desire to be changed.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Lord, I'm asking now, as You look over this congregation here, that You would look at everyone's heart.
Yes.
Convict those that need to be convicted. Heal those that need to be healed. But in the end, bring us to intimacy with You. Lord, that others may see You and not us. For we ask this in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. I want you to just, right now, just lift your hands up unto the Lord. All of you, those that want to. If you don't want to, that's all right. If you can't, well, I understand that. Lift your hands up unto the Lord and tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much He means to you. Love on
Jesus.
For He desires to be loved.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, we surrender all. Thank You, Lord. We surrender all, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You,
Jesus.
Thank You,
Lord. Praise You, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.